15 in your Bibles. Luke chapter 15. Read with me, beginning in verse 8. Luke 15, verse 8. Or what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth together her friends and neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Even so I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Parables usually teach one certain lesson, but obviously there are other lessons, I think, that may be gleaned from them. You remember in this 15th chapter, there are three parables. The one that we just read, and then the lost sheep, and then the last one, the lost son, or the prodigal son. Now, the background here, well, look at verses 1 and 2. You will see all of the publicans and sinners were drawing near unto him to hear him. And both the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Well, of course, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. That's what his business was. One thing that is absolutely vital in seeking the lost is making contact with the lost. Making contact with a sinner. You'll never convert a sinner that you cannot make contact with. And yet there are those who misunderstood what Jesus was doing, and they were very critical of him to speaking to these people that they had no use for. Now then, since heaven seeks salvation of sinners, and heaven rejoices over the repentance of one of them, then these people should have been rejoicing on this occasion. And then let's take a little bit closer look at the parable of the lost coin. I used to think that that was just a few little sentences, and I really didn't take much trouble to try to look into it a little deeper. But first place, a coin may be lost, obviously, through the carelessness of others. The sheep strayed from the flock that he talks about in the previous parable. And then there was the lost son who left home to go over in the land of do as you please. And then, with this coin, it's different. It's different because a coin to be lost has to be influenced from outside force of some kind. So you could not blame the coin for being lost as you would people, but others can influence a sinner to be lost or to help a sinner be saved. And I want us to understand that in all three of these parables, we're talking about lost sinners, all of them. But you'll have to admit that being lost in the house is less serious. And perhaps recollect that a house back in those days did not provide much light, if any light. I understand that some of them had no windows at all. And some of them had maybe perhaps a small one. And in addition to that, usually were dirt floors. And so here's the picture of this lady who has lost one coin. And in all of the research I could find about it, this coin usually was found with 9 other coins. She lost, we're told she lost 1 of 10 coins. And it sometimes would form a necklace, or sometimes form a little wreath that they would wear around their head, but they were very special to them. But at any rate, the worth of one of those coins was about 20 cents or 25 cents, I think. And nevertheless, that was a lot of money at that time. And so we are told that this lady swept and swept until she finally found it. And let's look in verse 9. That's what I'm looking for. And when she has found it, she called together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I have lost. Even so, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of angels over one sinner that repenteth." Now, again, the lost sheep probably just strayed away. But here is something that's lost that's equally precious to this woman. But you think being lost in the house is less serious because it's got to be somewhere in the house. Well, if it were in my house, we have looked and looked and looked and looked. And sometimes there were items, common items, that we couldn't find. But nevertheless, it seems less serious. The prodigal son went away, and we find that his going away in a strange, hostile environment is something all parents can certainly identify with, even if it does reach our heart every time we think about our son or our daughter being in an environment like that. Now, what's lost in the house usually, as I said earlier, doesn't worry us too much. Maybe we have a false sense of security. When we think about the coin, you think about coins being circulated. Well, here's one that's drawn out of circulation for a time. And unlike the sheep and the prodigal son, the coin, of course, doesn't realize it's lost, but its owner sure does. Now then, there's a chance that we may fail to see the lostness of a coin, but it was no less lost than the sheep was lost. It was no less lost than the coin, than the... Yeah, thanks. At any rate, but it was just as separated from its owner as was the sheep and as was the boy who left his home. When we think about being lost in the house, I want to introduce a thought or two here of a couple of good examples of those who are lost in the house, and they're not coins, but they're lost in the house, and Judas is one of them. Demas is another, and they were near, but they were just as lost as the vilest renegade could be lost. The term house here doesn't necessarily mean the church, although it's used that way in 1 Timothy 3:16 as I'm describing the church of God, the house of God. But I think it's maybe used about those who are not far away from the kingdom of God. Excuse me. But the lost in the house, think with me about this for a moment. Those lost in the house may be our near kinsmen. Those lost in the house may be family or near relatives. But first, we ought to ask ourselves what responsibility we have to people like that. They are literally in our house. What responsibility do we have, for instance, to teach them? If we are Christians and they, as we know, are lost, what are we going to do about it? Will we do anything about it? Will we feel some sense of responsibility in regard to their condition? Or will we just ignore it? Sometimes we might encourage them to be lost in the house by living the kind of a life that sets a poor example before them. That is, failing to let our light shine, as we talked about last Sunday. Failure to be the kind of encouragement that we ought to be to them. You remember in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, "In like manner, you wives, be in subjection to your husbands, that even if any obey not the word, they may without the word be gained by the behavior of the wives." Sometimes the lost in the house may be as close as a husband or a wife. What are we going to do about it? If that's my wife, what would I need to do? Well, I would like to be a good example before her. I need to be that. And perhaps we just sometimes fuss and fight a lot. And we don't get along very well. We criticize each other. And then it may be that someone in the house like that, whether a near relative or a friend, perhaps we have been blinded to their lostness, their lost condition, and what all is involved in that. Even to the point that we might just be resigned to accept them in that condition without making any efforts to help them. And further than that, if we are pretty close to them, we may start making excuses for them. I've known of instances where that has happened. We may start to think, well, I know people that are really worse than that. They're not all that bad. Here is lostness in the house. And we get to the point, perhaps, to associate with these people in such a way for such a length of time that it doesn't become a very serious thing in our thought processes any longer. Even sometimes to the point of actually shielding them, maybe from the preacher, shielding them maybe from another Christian who would like to have a Bible study with them. I've actually known that to happen. Only when we come to realize the true condition of those who are lost in the house will we start lighting some candles and doing some sweeping. We who know them best, we who love them most, certainly should be the ones to take a lead in teaching them what they need to know, telling them about their responsibility, about what needs to be done in their spiritual life, and I suppose most of all, to live a godly example before them. It may not be a kinsman or maybe just a friend that's living in our house. But it may also be a brother or sister in Christ who have become unfaithful. They are lost in the house too. And again, we may ask ourselves whether or not we have contributed to their condition. Maybe I have been a poor example before them. I want to read a passage over in Matthew 18, if you want to turn there. It's 18 and verse 5. The This is a very familiar context, I think. And whosoever, he says, shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall cause one of these little ones that believe on me to stumble, it is profitable for him that a great millstone should be hanged about his neck, and that he should be sunk to the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of the occasions of stumbling, for it must needs be that the occasions will come, but woe to that man through whom the occasion cometh. Some of you recognize that there's been a lot of discussion back and forth about whether this is actually a human child, that's not very old, or whether it's a spiritual child, babe in Christ. And I don't know. I never did get that. So, but it doesn't make any difference. The point is still the same. Here is one who needs help, obviously. And we must do what we can to help in their condition. And we certainly wouldn't ignore them. I hope that we would not. But if they are a babe in Christ, especially, we ought to take the opportunity to help them. And you remember Jesus says, if not, you may cause them to stumble, and woe unto the one that causes the occasion of stumbling. Secondly, by failure to restore that one. If they are Christian, in Galatians 6 and verse 1, Galatians 6 and verse 1 points a responsibility in that area. Brethren, even if a man be overtaken in any trespass, ye who are spiritual, that should be all of God's people, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. And he tells us how to do it. In a spirit of gentleness, looking to thyself, lest I also be tempted. I have known in years past, I think, of people who, well, ostensibly were going to help restore somebody, but really, it seems like they really wanted to really get them told off more than anything else. They wanted to criticize them. And that turns out so often as to not be helping, but to rather making the situation worse. We regret the fact that sin has come into the lives of other people, perhaps our closest friends or our kinsmen. But we're not going to help them by going in a rage or going with a chip on our shoulder. But the Bible says to go with a spirit of gentleness. And it's always appropriate, as the Scriptures say, to looking unto thyself. Not just him, but looking unto yourself. Again, in James 5:19. James 5:19. Another responsibility that we have to our brethren. My brethren, if any among you err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he who converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have part in helping a lost Christian, one who has lost and turned his back on God? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could help save them, save their soul from death, and in addition, cover a multitude of sins? Now, another thing that we could do sometimes is we could simply ignore them, which makes the condition even worse. And tonight, I would encourage you that if you know somebody who has gone astray, who is a Christian, has been in the time past, and they've left the Lord, they've left the church, go to them. Go to them with this spirit that's we've just read about here, with a view toward seeing if there's not something you can do to save them and to remind them of the state that follows unless they repent, and remind them that God wants them to come back to Him. Now, one other thing, it could be our minimizing sin. Maybe in a kind of a discreet way, but you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, 2 Corinthians 10 and 12, it says, "For we are not bold to number or compare ourselves with certain of them who commend themselves, and by themselves measuring themselves and comparing themselves with themselves or without understanding." And you can certainly see how that would be so. And again, dealing with the fornicator at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 18. "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but it's who the Lord commendeth." I suppose most of us would sometimes lean toward commending ourselves when we really would not be worthy of that kind of commendation. And then finally, each of us must consider very seriously whether or not we may be lost in the house. Sometimes there's an inclination for men to think more highly of themselves than they ought. I believe that's in the Bible. And we may be guilty of doing that to such an extent that we begin to trade on God's grace and on God's mercy. And we just feel like that it's all right. It's not all that bad. God's grace is going to save me anyway. He's a merciful God. The Bible teaches that. But there's the greatest kind of need for us to continually examine ourselves. And one of the hardest things, I think, for most of us to do is to get over that ego problem and to see ourselves as God would see us. Sometimes we would be inclined to feel like that we're not so bad, and yet we may even have sins in our lives as we would come to that conclusion. Try your own selves, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, whether you are in the faith. But I suppose that we recognize that being in a pew is so never a guarantee of being in the faith. Finally, and we'll close our lesson with this thought, when we consider the possibility of one being lost in the house, remember the story of the prodigal son? And the prodigal son finally came to himself, and he came home to his daddy. He repented. But has you ever thought about the jealousy and the angry that was in the brother that stayed at home? Is it possible that he may have been the kind of a fellow that we've been talking about, lost in the house? All those years there with his daddy, and yet to sin in the way that he did, it's very possible that he put his own soul in danger. Well, that's the lesson tonight. If there's someone here this evening who needs to respond to the invitation of the gospel, we invite you to come forward while we stand and while we sing. There is a